Let me try it again. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you all. Thank you so much for being with me today on the broadcast. Coming to you live from my house. Vivo de mi casa. Live from my house. I want to thank you guys for being with me. I'm going to give some people some time to come on in. Why don't you connect and hit share and let others know. Hit follow, share. Follow me here. Share. Put a comment down below. If you have a prayer request, let me know. I'm here for you. I want to expand your knowledge. I want to expand your knowledge. The Bible says a wise man, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. A wise man is slow to speak and quick to hear. He's a person that desires to utilize your knowledge. You want to use knowledge? You want to know how to use knowledge? Got it. That's what wisdom is the ability to use knowledge. Look at my mic. Why is my mic facing like that? Look at that. It's like something. I don't know what. Let me move this around here. So there we go. That's a little better. All right. Feel a little better there. Don't feel like I'm pointing at you. Did I have my video like that yesterday? Don't know. Hit down below. Let me know. Let me know that you're here. Those of you that are watching from all over the world, let's see who the first one is here. Hallelujah. Welcome to the broadcast. Those of you that are watching on TikTok. And those that want to know about my TikTok channel, just look me up, Clark Ortiz. You'll find me everywhere. Just remember, go to my website, clarkortiz.com, and you'll connect with me everywhere. Download the application, TViewer, become a subscriber, $9.95 a month, and you'll be able to watch all the broadcasts that we have every day, all day. And, you know, when Netflix has nothing for you, you can go on TViewer and you can enjoy it. All right, I got a big day today. Got a lot to do, so I'm going to drop it like it's hot and give it to you. Let me give you the Psalms of the day in Psalms 91, verse 11. For he will give angels charge over you and guard you in all your ways. The angels of God are encamp around about you. Hey, I was a little boy laying at my bed. When I was laying there on my bed, I woke up in the middle of the night and I looked and I saw something at the foot of my bed. It was just somebody sitting there and it looked like a little boy. I was wondering what it was watching over me. And when I looked at it, and I'm going to tell you something. When you see an angel is very bright. Angels are very bright. They radiate light, but yet it's not reflective. Like you don't see, like I have this light on. And so you see the amber and the reflection on my face. That's what lights actually do. But angels don't do that. When angels are here, angels are illuminated, but everything around them continues to stay dark, except right where they are. It's almost like they glow in the dark. So just FYI, it's like they glow in the, they're very bright, but it's like they glow in the dark. And so I saw this angel on the foot of my bed. And I looked at it and I thought to myself, if I talked to this angel, what would happen? And I looked at it and I said, who are you? And when I said this, it was like it didn't know that I could see it. That's the best way of putting it. It's like the angel had no idea that I could see it. That when I said, I looked and I was looking at me. It was kind of pitched on its side, like sitting on his side hip and his elbow. And looked about my age, to be frank with you. And when I said, who are you? His eyes opened up real big, like he was startled. And then he looked up, like he looked at the roof, at the ceiling of the house. He looked up and then he floated and ascended up. And I was like, what was that? Now, throughout all the years of my life, I have seen, I have read and studied and I've learned that angels, they're there to protect us, to guard us, to make sure no harm comes our way. That's not to say you're not going to get hurt, but they're there for that reason, or they're there to give us a message. They're there to be mindful. The Bible says that we entertain angels. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. That says you might be entertaining angels unaware. That's what the Bible says. And many times I've seen them. I've seen angels at different times. I've never asked God, let me see an angel. Even to this day, I don't want to see the angels, be frank with you. And it's not like I see them everywhere. It's not like real creepy. But every time I've seen an angel, that was for a specific reason. So I just want you to know the Psalms of the day. And let's see here. Psalms 91, 11, for he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And the Proverbs of the day, I find it rather funny. The Proverbs of the day is wine is for the brawler, strong drink. No, wine is for the mocker and strong drink is for the brawler. But whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. Someone asked me, are we allowed to drink? Have y'all ever had that question? I wonder if God's okay, because, you know, all through the Bible, they had wine and they would drink. They would talk about strong drink and being drunk and not drunk and so forth. Oh, is it okay for us to drink? And that's a question that I'm probably going to address on this broadcast. So sit back, relax. I'm going to tell you all about it here in a minute. Annette, good morning. God bless you. I see that you're the first one. God bless you. Hey, we have a new person here, Lizzie Frank. God bless you, Lizzie. Good afternoon. Let us know where you're from, Lizzie. Don't talk to anybody else, but just put on there where you're from. I'd be curious to find out. Good afternoon, because then later on you put good morning. So chances are you're in the afternoon area of our planet, and we welcome you and we thank you for that. And then good morning, Marty. God bless you, Marty. Good to see you here. God bless you. And we thank you for being with us. And we have another new person here. Let's see here. This person says, good morning, Clark. Good morning, Stacy. God bless you. And you also put over here, need some new friends. Well, we believe that God will take care of you. I want you to know what we're here for. And we don't disregard you. And but there are a lot of new friends that I have on social media from all over the world. Let us know where you're watching from. And, you know, a friend, in order to build friendship, it takes building camaraderie and recognizing that there's a two-way street in this. And some people utilize social media to build friends because they have evil intentions. Their intentions may be to be vulgar or to be abrasive, to fight each other or to con each other. And you got to be careful with that, especially on the internet. Because there's some people who say this is who they are, but they're really not that person. And sad to say, but I'm the guy that will out the person that is phony. And so if you're real and you're interested in friendship, well, partake in the program and we're here for you and we love you. You have a prayer request, we'll pray for you and believe God on your behalf. And I do not encourage any of my friends to befriend anybody that's part of my friend circle, because I have a large presence of over 10,000 on one. I got 28,000 on another. I got 26,000 on TikTok. I got 34,000 on Instagram. I got 16,000 on Instagram, 34. About 250,000 people follow me all over on all social media platforms, and I want to respect every one of them. Even though some of them may not be real, I don't know that. I don't know how they got there. Only social media knows how it's done. But we are here for you to bring you to the salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we want to spend time with you, teaching you how you can prosper spiritually, physically, socially, mentally, and financially. And you want to get to know more about who I am, just go to clarkortiz.com, tell you everything that I'm about, what I'm about. And what I'm about is about bringing the prosperity of God into your life and allow you to live a life of truth, of faith, a life of growth in Jesus' name. All right. So let me talk to you a little bit about it. What does the Bible say about drinking? There's a lot of people that have that question, because the proverb of the day is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. It says, wine is a mocker and strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is intoxicated by it is not wise. So what does that mean? So all throughout the scriptures, we find that there are people that drink, and there's a reason why they drink. They drink wine. Wine was a substance used for medicine. It was also a substance that was used to keep the body pure or clean, because if they drank it in a sense of moderation. But also the wine that they drank back in that day was a wine with preservatives, because they would travel long distance and they needed certain items, proteins, and so forth that are inside their system. The wine has that. Wine has a lot of healing properties. I'm not talking about today's wine. I'm talking about true wine. And real wine nowadays is a very costly bottle. It's not inexpensive. It's expensive, because there are wines that are made properly. There's other wines that have additives in them. And the reason why the community, the wine community, or what they call the spirits community, sells so much of it, they sell more wine than we produce grapes. I mean, you look it up, you'll find out. How could there be more wine than grapes? We still eat grape. We have grape jelly and grape jam. We have grape juice. We have grape juice inside different types of juice. And yet we're still selling more wine than we have grapes. Ask yourself that question. So what is it that you're actually drinking? That's the question to ask yourself. Are you truly, when you buy a $10, $12 bottle of wine, are you really drinking wine? What is it that you're drinking? So that's one thing to deal with. Second item, is it okay to be drinking? I'm going to tell you right now. Society in itself calls it a spirit. Calls it a spirit because when you become intoxicated, your spirit suddenly gets taken over by another spirit. There are things that you will do intoxicated that you will not do when you're sober. So you have to put that in the equation here. So you're actually losing your own control. And some people say, well, I kind of like what it makes me feel like, that I, you know, it takes the governor off my lips and allows me to kind of loosen up. That's what they say. If that's what you like, then you just need to be loose. You just need to just relax. Don't be so pent up. Alcohol does not make you into who you really are. It does not. Alcohol hides who you really are. The intoxication and that type of a subject, they're called in the legal aspects, it's called a controlling substance. It's very important to understand this. Controlling substance, because it takes control over you. That's what alcohol does, is that it takes control over you. Now, the Bible calls that evil, and God wouldn't even take control over Adam and Eve. God gave power to Adam and Eve and said, hey, I'm here for you. When you need me, call me. Jesus came to forgive us of our sins. He says, here, you got control, but it's up to you whether you want to surrender your will to me or not. But you're the one in control. You can give it or you can take it back, you know? And so, but when you drink the alcohol, it steals the control off of you and you do things. And somebody says, well, is it a sin to drink? Here's what I say. The Bible says to stay away from being drunk. Don't be drunk. And it says that the kingdom of heaven is not for the drunkards. So those are the alcoholics that have a hard time controlling themselves. So a little bit of wine, you know, alfalfa, a little bit of preservative. It's not a bad thing. Problem is, can you control it or does it control you? Can you do it in moderation? Can you get anything outside of moderation? If I have too much of this stuff, it's coffee. Boy, I tell you what, I'll be just as bad as an alcoholic. There's no question about it. So I do it in moderation. Now, I drink it strong. There's no question about it. I drink very strong coffee, but I always am in control of my continence, always in control of my continence. It doesn't make me crazy. If I drink too much of it, it will, but I keep myself. So is it a sin? Again, is it a sin to drink? All through the scriptures talk about people that drink, and there's not a problem with people that drink. The problem is the people that get drunk, and the reason for the people that get drunk is because you lose control of yourself. So you see how I'm unpacking the understanding of, is it okay to drink? So here's what I say. The scriptures say, if you're called into the ministry and you're a leader, you shall not allow wine or alcohol to touch your lips. So I, in my position, I'm not allowed to allow myself to be drunk. I'm not allowed to sell myself to drink, to have drinks with others. If it's during the celebration time, some people say that, you know, I may hold it up. I won't drink it, depending on whatever the occasion is. I have no problem standing my ground and telling everybody, look, I'm telling you, I'm not drinking. No, I'm sorry, can't not have any. There's times that I would do that. And so, and why is that? It's because I have to be a testimony to those in whom I'm ministering to. As a leader of the community, I have to be able to protect the testimony, protect the covering. That's the purpose of it. So is there anything wrong with drinking? That's now all, it's like art. It's in the eye of the beholder. Can you handle it? Do you do it in moderation? Does it control you? Will it cause you to sin? Here's what I say. It's not so much the drinking that's the problem. The problem is, what do you do afterwards? That's it right there. What do you do afterwards? Are you one of those that drinks a little bit and now you want to fight? Wine is for a mocker, strong drink for a brawler. That's what this scripture is talking about. So what happens, there's some people that just mean, outright mean when they start drinking. Man, they would start cursing. They let their hands out. Or they get too sexy. Oh, they feel their body already, all these vibrations and everything. And they, man, they can't wait to get up with the opposite sex. And they're going to do something. They're not going to pay attention that they're married. They're not going to pay attention that they're faithful. They're not paying attention that they're a Christian. And they get a little too loose. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Or that guy that just wants a brawl, wants to fight. I had this friend of mine in the Lord. Oh, my gosh. This guy, wonderful man, strong guy. When he came to the church, had never gone to church at all, ever. And he says, I like to fight. That's what he told me. He says, I go to the bar, get a couple of drinks so I can fight because I just like to fight. He just liked to fight. But he'd always put down a couple of drinks, and then, boy, he'd go at it and start fighting. That big old hands, like twice the size of my hands. Guy you'd never want to fight for or fight with. And but he did it. He said, put a couple of drinks in me in the bar, and boy, we go at it and just find me a fight. And some people that do that. So again, is it okay to drink? Here's what is. Here's what I say. If you're in leadership of the church, especially if you're ministering around your community, you need to stay completely, completely, completely away from it. I don't go into bars. I don't go hang out places that have a lot of alcohol, drinking. If someone's having a party and they invite me over and I go and find out there's a lot of alcohol, I'll be very polite and cordial, walk on out, excuse myself, not tell them why. I won't tell them why. I won't embarrass them, and I won't try to use it as a point to where I can preach to them and convict them. Let the Holy Ghost do all that. I'm not that person that runs around and judging and all that. They let their hair down and what have you, you know? So that's what I do, right? So that, but I also tell leaders that, you know, if you're in a place where you're, you know, if you're in a place of leadership and you're trying to build a community, you want to stay away from a lot of things that are impure. So it's just not just wine. There's other things. You want to stay away from the restaurants that the waitresses are dressed a little scantily. You want to stay away from that. The Bible says stay away from the mere appearance of evil. Okay. So now those are those that are called into the ministry. You're a saint, you're sanctified for a purpose. Now let's talk about the lay person, the common person. Have a little wine, a little beer. There's nothing wrong with that. You can control it. Remember, everything has to do with control and moderation. If you go crazy with it, you got a problem. Now, if you want to be in leadership of the church and you're drinking, then, you know, deal with that first. Because if you can't control your body, you're not going to be able to control yourself in the leadership of the ministry. And so you have to be able to deal with it, and you have to hold yourself to a different level. You're in a different position. So you got to recognize that. And so when you're in that difference of opinion, different position, and you're working for that, well, you got to, there's some sacrifices that you're going to take. All right. So some people say, well, I don't think I'm going to have a problem with it. Well, let me tell you, I'm not going to call out any names, but I'll tell you the scenarios without names. And I'll let you be the judge of this, okay? And if you know the story, don't put it on there who that person is, okay? So there is a large television ministry, not a preacher, but a television network that's founded by a family. It's been around for many, many years. And the founders have already passed away. And then one of the sons had two sons, and one of the sons is managing the whole network, doing a great job with it. And the other son was ostracized outside of the network. And that son that is no longer part of the television network began to expose sin that the parents would participate in. And that's the saddest thing. To me, it's the saddest thing to see because, you know, Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. I would never talk about the sins of my fathers. Now, my parents lived a bad life before they got saved, but they lived a good life when they got saved. So I got nothing negative to say about them after salvation. Before salvation, after salvation, you know, everybody has a little issue or whatever, but it's not anything that, not anything. Even if I talked about it, people would say that ain't nothing because it ain't nothing. But this guy went out and started talking about how his dad was an alcoholic. Was an alcoholic on the television network, was an alcoholic on TV, and he would do his live broadcast drunk as a skunk. And the doctors told him that he was drunk and even alluded to he passing away of liver disease. And I thought to myself, first of all, how sad is that the son is talking about this sin after the father had passed away? If that was a valuable topic, and if you felt good to out it, then you should have done it while he was alive. I don't think he should have done it anyway, but if you're going to do it, be bold and do it while he's alive. Call him out while he's alive. But when he's dead, you can call him out when he's dead? What's wrong with you? That's the way I saw it. So sad. But a lot of us who watched the network saw the decline of the ministry. We saw the decline of the person. You can see it, that there was something visibly wrong with him. There was no question about it. And it hurt the ministry. It hurt the kingdom. There's no question about it. And he apparently did have this issue. But how dare the son out it like that? So I almost kind of weighed which was worse, the father drinking or the son outing him. I don't know. It's a gossiper. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven is not for gossipers, is it? I guess he wanted people to feel sorry for him. That's why he's not part of the network. I don't know. It was sad. I laugh about it. It's more of a nervous laugh because I think it's sad. Sad things. And but the you could see, because I knew who the ministry was. I wasn't working for them, but I knew who the ministry was, and I knew that they were making decisions that were outside of normalcy. And now I recognize why. Because the owner was operating on a controlled substance. And there's other preachers that I've seen that feel it good to drink, and they drink till they're drunk. And now the alcohol begins to control their ministry. And it's almost, it's like the Bible says that when the sower goes out and sows the word, there's an enemy that comes and sows tares together with the seed of the grain. So he said some people will go and sow grain, and other people go in there and sow poison inside there. And then they both grow together. And one of them is pure and the other one's impure. And it degrades the value of the field. And he says that's what happens when you have the word. Bible says that when we're speaking, this is fresh water, and you can't have salt water flowing with fresh water. It doesn't work. The moment you put a little bit of salt water, the water becomes impure. And so that's what that talk was. So the question here, is it okay for you to drink here? I'll give you some rules. Number one, if you're in leadership, stay away from it. Stay away from it, because it's not good testimony. Number two, if you're not in leadership, it has to be in moderation. And with moderation, we're talking about, you know, social little bit. Don't get drunk. If you get drunk, that's where you have some problems. Don't get drunk. If you get drunk, that's sin. You're a drunkard. And people can have one glass of wine and be completely fine, and another person can drink this very same glass of wine and they can be as drunk as a skunk. So you can't even measure it. So it's best to stay away from it. Why do you have to have it? That's the question to really have. It's not, the question should not be, am I going to go to heaven or hell? You're not going to go to hell drinking. But if you get drunk and you commit murder, you're going to go straight to hell. You might commit suicide. You might rob a bank. You might lie. You might steal. What are you going to do while you're drunk? That's probably the bigger issue than the being drunkard. And that's why the Bible says stay away from, don't be a drunkard. That's why there's even a command there. Don't be a drunkard. The kingdom of heaven is not for those that are drunk, not for the drunkards. While I drink my coffee. So can a person drink? Oh, come on. Look, if you have a sip or two or whatever, it ain't going to send you to hell. It ain't going to send you to hell. Jesus is not going to call you up and say, I remember you took a sip. No, Jesus is loving and caring. And it's not a problem. But if you're going to get drunk, you're going to have a problem. Because the problem isn't the drinking. The problem is the drunkenness. You hearing what I'm saying? That's the problem. That's the problem, is the drunkenness. And so now, keep yourself. The best thing to do is just to stay away from it. Stay away from it. If you're called to God, live a holy life. Now, what does that mean? Holiness. Holiness is this. Holiness is, you got to work on not just the drinking part. You got to work on what you're eating. You got to work on the way you take care of yourself. You got to exercise. You recognize that this is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's the temple of God. And for some of you that changed the channel before I got to this part, and you want to convict me or try to condemn me, shame on you. This is the temple of God. You got to treat it like a holy temple. And living holiness is, now that is a, that's a covenant between you and God, to live a holy life like this. That you say, well, I'm going to stay away from strong drink and all that. And there's different people that do that. Now, this right here, my coffee, this is my coffee. everybody's got something that they do that they don't like. I won't put sugar in my coffee. I don't put sugar or cream at all in my coffee. I drink my coffee straight like a tea. I drink it straight right from the bean. People just say they don't like it, then don't drink it at all. It's the sugar and the cream that hurts you more than the coffee. Just recognize that. And but I drink my coffee. I drink it in the morning. Go and drink something in the morning. I drink water in the morning. I put down a big old glass of water first. Take my supplements, and I make sure that I take care of myself. I exercise. I do my push-ups, and I get myself ready for the day. Gets my blood going. Gets me exercising. And then I don't even think about it. I don't think about drinking. I don't think about beer. I don't think about all that stuff. I don't even think about it. Because when I back in the day, I had a problem with it. I don't even think about it anymore. It's not an issue. Not an issue. And so, my friends, I hope this ministered to you. I hope this encourages you. So just to give you the real recap on it, number one, if you're called in the ministry, don't drink. Number two, if you drink anything, make sure that it's completely in moderation and don't do it because you need it to relax or calm yourself down. Number three, you better not get drunk. Don't get drunk. Those are the ones that are going to get judged, or the drunkards. So don't get drunk. All right? And to cap it all off, you're not going to hell if you drink. You'll go to hell of what you do after you drink. You do something you shouldn't do after you drink. Anyway, I hope you guys can handle the humor in this. All right, Mighty, God bless you. You're welcome, Mighty. God bless you. God bless you, Rachel. Good to see you here. God bless you. Good morning. Good morning. Let me pray for you guys and get you guys started on your day. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends right now. I ask you to be with them throughout the day. Protect them. Cover them with your precious blood. And Father, we put on the full armor, girded about the loins with the truth of your word, and we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take on the breastplate of righteousness, for we're righteous for your name's sake. Helmet of salvation, and shield of faith, and sword of the spirit, which is your word. And Father, we just give you praise right now that we're completely protected. Your angels are around and about us, protecting us everywhere that we go. Bring us back safely today. Bring us to church today. This is Wednesday. Father, encourage everybody to go to church, that they may be able to hear your word and get a shot in the arm, get charged up with your word and energized by your great grace. Father, we give you praise for this right now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, say amen down below. Put on there, amen. Let me know that you were with me on the broadcast. Those of you that are watching on King Jesus Television, I thank you guys for being with me. I also want to encourage you, if you get a chance, I would sincerely thank you and appreciate you if you can support this network. And the best way to support it is to be able to give by way of Cash App, omginc.com. Send us an offering if you can. It helps us pay the bills and do what we need to do. OMG Inc. over Cash App. $OMG, you know, oh my God, Incorporated. OMG Inc. And that's how you do it, through Cash App. Guys, I love you all greatly. Let's see who else was on here that I missed. Mahdi, thank you so much. Yep. God bless you, Marty. God bless you, Annette. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, Alexandria. God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, Rachel, for being with us on the broadcast. You guys are such a blessing and an encouragement to me. And God bless all of you that are watching. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Go take on the day.